This is Brett Fortin.
This is Doug Casey.
This is Tom Luongo.
This is Alex Craner.
This is Viva Fry. You're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the Brothers Roundtable, joined by the brothers again, obviously. Yeah, lots going on. We're bantering here. I'm sure we're going to harp on the Oilers a little bit. Before we get there, first and foremost, everyone's like, oh, did you homebrew coffee this morning? I'm like, no, I didn't. I decided to have a little fun this morning. Instead of showing off somebody else's stuff on the table, not that you can see it on the camera on me and Harles, and probably for most people we'll release this just audio. We're working on a few things in studio, as the brothers can see.
What do I do with my hands?
Yeah, exactly. Sean Alexander, the owner of Kalani, the three cups you're drinking out of, came into studio.
Three. Not mine then.
No, you're three.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, back in college, we used to do this thing called pink helmet. If you were last in the shootout, the next practice, you had to wear the pink helmet. And I thought, oh, gee, this just, what am I going to do with a pink cup? And then I thought, well, the brothers do a bet every week. Maybe the guy who's in last drink goes in the pink cup. So Jay, You're dead last this week and is going in the
dead
pink
last
cup.
For the silver coin. But may I say, out of the four brothers, first in the Don's Cup right now. Just throwing that out there, and I will throw this out there too, that
Don's
I for sure will not
round?
Finish in fourth out of the four brothers in the Don's Cup, because we all know someone is pretty
it's
much
true.
Toast.
I will say, of all the brothers, the pink cup probably matches Jay best for some reason.
You know it's funny. He walked in this morning. He first guy here. Mm-hmm. Saying to Dust, who showed up late. First guy here, he walks in and he almost knew. He grabbed the pink cup. And I'm like,
well,
that's interesting.
It's just interesting because it's the biggest one out of the four. So I find that interesting.
Mucho
too.
Grande.
But actually, okay, sure. Anyways, so I thought maybe we'd add in a little spice to it. You get dead last, you get in the pink cup at the next round table.
That's fine. Yeah. It all depends what you're talking about. If it's silver coin, I understand.
Well, the Panthers
did exactly what I said the Oilers were going to do, which was they showed up and
we're
didn't
literally
score.
In studio. Rusty. And what are we talking about? We're talking next about who got the silver coin this week.
So who gets
now,
the silver coin?
I would like
let me just say, I hope I never get that pink cup because I wore that pink helmet enough in college.
You
so.
Did. Yeah. He couldn't score on a breakaway to save his life. It was almost quite sad. Okay. The silver coin this week is a little bit controversial because I'd like to point out, first and foremost, we didn't go out of here going highest goal total. And for remind the listener, our bet last week was who in their first game of round two would have the most goals. So Dust took the New York Rangers. They won 4-3. I took the Colorado Avalanche. They won 4-3.
But
it was in overtime. And so then they're like,
No. You're not going right through it. So it was who had the most goals, followed by, because Harley's team took Edmonton, right? And they lost 5-4. So all three guys, mm-hmm. I took Florida, they had one. So all three guys had four goals. So then it goes to the tiebreaker. How many goals against? Vancouver had five, Harley's out. Your two had three, so then we had to come up with another tiebreaker.
Then we had to add in rules. And you know the guy who suggested is the guy who's getting today's silver coin. That's probably what pisses me off the most. He's like, oh, I think Sean got his in overtime. I'm like, it's a win. In the playoffs, do they not call an overtime win a win? Oh, no. No, we're going
longer,
to regular season.
Just took
rule.
A longer
what
to get
would
their
you prefer
goals.
Then, Sean?
Eh? To be fair, though, he passed it through the group, and both me and Harley agreed.
So,
guys, I brought my silver coin from last week so I could stack them
mm-hmm.
just to show everybody what two silver coins looks like.
I'm a pauper right now.
I tell you what.
Because some of you still have none.
There. Yes. I got mine on the table as well. I'm a little disjointed about how it all went. My team wins, they score four, and I still get hooped by all three brothers.
You know,
and then they
won.
And then they call it
the
democracy. They call it democracy on me.
And then they
in my own chat
completely implode, where I'm like, we've got her in the bag. They're already
at
4-1.
Harley was counting his chickens, okay. Folks, before they even hatched.
Before we even get there, I will just say this. The text messaging was awesome because Sean's like, oh, they also won 4-3. And I just threw out there, yeah, they got an overtime, though. So I think the guy who got it in regulation should get it. And Harley right away jumps in, yeah, I agree. And then Jay's like, yeah, I agree, too. And I'm like, oh, Sean's got to be sitting there just stewing.
Unbelievable. Unreal, you know? Anywho, I'm sure the listeners are like, oh, that perfectly makes sense. I'm like, it perfectly makes sense if you set it at the rules at the start. Just said most goals,
hey,
not most goals in regulation.
If it goes Jay's for me, I'm going to have to be ordering
doesn't mean
more.
You get to
democracy,
make
Sean.
All the rules.
Democracy.
Right?
Yeah, democracy. Okay. Which now would lead us to, what are we doing next week for the bet?
Well, we're doing some sort of a plus-minus Oilers versus Vancouver in the next two games, correct?
Yeah, because...
goal differential between the two teams.
We Jay and I won't be here before, so it'll be only the next two games.
So... Jay gets to pick first, obviously, because he got last.
And let me guess, Harley gets picked second because of goal differential and how it all works out.
Yeah, so then Sean gets picked third.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And I get to pick last and see if I can win it.
I think it all makes sense, Sean.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we go.
Well, we got to talk through this for a second here. Let's talk about, before I make, I want to think about this. So you guys talk
about... Do you want to talk about the game?
Harley's got a point he wants to make about the game because he's a little chapped.
Well, they're up 4-1. And you can't lock it down? Like, they go 22 minutes without a shot on net. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, that is unbelievable.
You know what that reminded me of? Do you remember Bill Belichick coaching the Patriots during the heyday?
Yep.
He was one of the only teams I ever saw who didn't take the foot off the pedal, who would just go hard. And what a lot of football teams do, and this goes for hockey as well, is you get up and you're like, oh, as long as we don't give up the breakaway, the big play will be safe. And you know what happens in football every time? They give away the short stuff, and all of a sudden they're marching down the ball down the field and they get touchdowns. And that's what happened in this game, is the Oilers are just like, oh, if we don't forecheck too hard, make sure no one gets behind us. But as soon as you play safe, you're dead because they just keep coming at you in waves.
I agree with you, Dust. Actually, I'll take it one step further. Because we play so much noon hour, I actually giggle to myself how many times where if one team gets up two or three at the start, you know,
especially
where they come
early.
Out two or three, they naturally just take the foot off the gas because, you know, nobody wants to punch the other guys in the mouth because we play together all the time. But it just, and then the other team starts to score and it's hard to get that back.
Yep.
It's really hard. And sometimes I'll be on the bench with the Never Sweats. We're playing a bunch of young guys. And they'll score twice right away. And I'll go, oh, that's the best thing that could have happened to us. Yeah. Right? Because now they already think, oh, it's a bunch of old guys. We're going to pound these guys. And then they just take the foot off the gas. And it's just hard to get going again.
And the other team just goes to work. And away you go.
That's right. And then next thing, Sean's in the loser column again.
Well, no, the best was, wait. Noon hour, we just won.
Did you?
Yes, we are 3-3-2 Friday. You best show up.
3-3-3
Were you there?
I've got a hamstring I'm recovering from right now. It's not playoffs, boys.
So Jay wasn't there yesterday. I wasn't.
Yeah,
there
I don't really
yesterday.
Care. I don't care who's there. 3-3-3
Also, now you're making your own rules.
3-3-3 No, right, I'm saying the series. We play noon hour hockey, folks. I've been against the Three Brothers for way too long. It's almost like, they do this on purpose. Regardless, it's 3-3-3 Friday. Yeah. Friday is the end of it. I'm coming full force. We're winning game 10 and carry on with life.
All right. So the second point I got about the Oilers.
No comment.
Dust doesn't care.
Second point I got about the Oilers is goaltending. If you look at the Oilers team, they have an elite, maybe the best in the league set of forwards. Pretty easy to argue that.
100%.
Their defense is sound. They've got to be top 10 in the league. I would say they're defensemen.
Yep.
They're right there. Like, they're a solid group.
Although I'll always point out they're missing a true number one. But, yep.
Sure. They're more by committee than having, the big gun.
Which, but, I mean, we've seen teams win cups with
that's
committee.
That's right. But there's no big holes in their defense.
No.
They're a solid group. The biggest hole they have on their whole team, and I've said this since the start of the year, the first podcast we did at Brothers Roundtable, start of the year, was goaltending. That's their... Now, is Stuart Skinner bad? No. But is he top 15 goalie in the league? No, he's not. And that's the biggest problem they have. And if you look at that game last night, two of those goals and...
Yeah, but look on the other side. Like, Vancouver wanted three of those goals back.
And you're comparing right now Skinner. Vancouver's running with their third string that played American Hockey League.
I don't care about the other team. I'm talking about the Oilers. The Oilers scored four goals and Skinner let in five.
How about the fact that Nurse and Cece were on for four goals against?
Did you see two of those goals? Did you see two of them? Nope. One was from the side of the net off his sticking in, and the other
it's
one
a nice
the
deflection.
Guy,
Miller on the side of the net.
No, not that one. I'm talking about the one where he put it in his own net. The guy just threw it and it went off his stick. And you go, well, okay, that was an accident.
Well, things like that are gonna happen.
The fifth goal though, and what happened with Skinner last year in Vegas is what was the big hole that Vegas found with Skinner?
His lateral movement, side to side.
And his feet. And what happened twice last night? One was him putting it in his own net. And the fifth goal, the guy came down, fake slap shot, and then shot it. Not a super hard shot, but it was Skinner's feet that let in that goal. That's a goal that you cannot let in.
Okay, so who do you go with in game two?
No, I'm not saying.
No, I'm just asking.
No.
Does everybody say Skinner? No, you're going back to Skinner.
All I'm saying is if the only hole the Oilers have. Let's go down that path.
So if Vancouver beats Edmonton in game two, who do you go with game three?
Depends on how Skinner plays. If Skinner comes out and plays well, then you stay with Skinner.
Can you imagine Pickard versus...
Wins the cup?
Hey,
Pickard versus Silovs?
But I just bring it up because if there's one hole in the Oilers, that's the hole that's...
Well, if you look at the teams that are left, I mean, with apologies to Vancouver, who should have Demko in the net, who is a top 10.
Yeah.
Dallas has Ottinger.
Yep.
He's top 10. Georgiev, to me, is not.
No.
With Colorado. He's probably saving his Skinner.
Shesterkin is.
Frederick Anderson in the playoffs plays like Bobrovsky he's healthy.
Bobrovsky is. Swayman
is.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Oilers got here by a different route. They got here by an amazing power
so
play.
So then it goes, and then it goes back to what you say. So because that's your weakest spot is back there, you can't then do the lockdown where we're going to sit back for a period and a half.
And not get a shot in a full period.
Because you need to win game 6-5.
Yes. You're going to have to go at them.
Yeah. Or you got to play hockey. You got to get some shots on the net. When they were shooting on, how do you say his last name? Is it
Silovs?
Shilov. I think.
What? There's no H in there, is there?
No, but he's from a...
He's from
a different country.
He's not from Hillmont, Sean.
He's from Eastern.
Playoffs? Talking about playoffs?
He's from Latvia.
Like, the thing is, Oilers didn't score a very... Like, look at their goals last night. None of them were pretty. No. And Vancouver fans, although happy this morning, somewhere Bird is just, like, I mean, he's over the moon. I could just feel him squirming when it's 4-1. But, like, somewhere they're going, man, our goaltending... Ugh, looked not very good last night. Well, that's because it's their third string, and we should expose him over and over and over again.
As long as you play the game.
If you're the Oilers.
Which they did.
Yeah.
For a period and a half.
Yeah. And you just got to finish out the game. They're going to go sit in the room. This isn't some rookie group. They're going to sit there and go, boys.
Nuge hitting the post didn't help.
Yeah,
that was tough. They come back and score the...
Sure. But, I mean, then it would have been 5-1. It's 4-2. You still got the game
ahead. What I'm saying is at 5-1, then, right, it's a different
game.
That game is probably actually
over. I agree.
Same with the Vancouver player covered the puck and threw it out of the zone. If they call that penalty, now they don't score the tying goal, right? There's a few things that happen in the game that, you know.
Was Draisaitl hurt? I was listening to
Sixers. Obviously.
They said cramping is what... Knobloch said. Cramping. Obviously, they're not going to say exactly. Draisaitl's
not leaving the bench if it's cramping.
I don't know. How do you know?
Well, but they're not going to tell you in the playoffs anyways. Nobody's going to say anything.
No, exactly. So it's got to be some sort of injury because Draisaitl, if he's cramping, he's not leaving the bench. That's not Draisaitl.
I don't know. Cramping can get pretty bad.
Cramping can suck.
Yep.
It's just.
What's the sense of sitting on the bench if you're like that? You might as well try and go get fixed. I think
he didn't look great the rest of the
game. I think this next game is going to be really interesting because if sometimes a loss is not terrible to have once in a while because it brings everybody right back to where we're not invincible. By the end of the LA series, they kind of just did their thing and rolled through and look at us, we're the Oilers. And you think about what, you know, Draisaitl's tired of the question about Vancouver beating them all season and on and on and on. Well, now they just beat you. So game two, I think game two is going to be really interesting. What type of do the Oilers come out? The Oilers should come out where it's 5-1.
Well, and the thing,
but
about,
do they?
But
the like thing, the Florida Boston series,
right?
Here's the thing about the Oilers too: is this is not the team from 3 to 4 years ago where it's a bunch of young guys,
right?
This is a bunch of guys who've been through the meat grinder numerous times in the
playoffs.
Conference final.
Yeah, well,
the
Toronto Maple Leaf
final.
Guys have been through the meat grinder too.
No. But I think this is a mature team that's really good at the same time. The Maple Leafs don't have a good defense or a good goal.
You know, the text line. I've been ragging on all the Canadian teams, right? And so the text line this morning was lovely. I was getting texted from Leafs fans, Canucks fans, fan.
I got chirped in the dressing room about the Leafs. We lost the game.
We did lose the game, didn't you?
Anyhow, and I mentioned to Malcolm that, you know, maybe next game, guys, we should show up, you know, not halfway through the game.
Were you crying on the bench, Dust?
Anyhow, all I'm saying is I think the Oilers are good enough where I'm not that concerned about them. The goaltending, in my mind, is still the weak spot. But do I think they're good enough? Yeah, I think
I agree with everything. It'll still be interesting how game two. If game two comes out and Vancouver, all you want to do with Vancouver now is rope-a-dope in game two. Can we keep it close enough?
Yeah, can we make it a 1-0 game? Oilers,
right. Yeah. Or even a or even we're
lucky bounce.
Well, or even if we're only down 3-2 going into the third. And the Oilers' sticks start to tighten. And all of a sudden we get a lucky bounce, like Carl says, and it's 3-3. And all of a sudden we pull out one in overtime. And everybody starts gripping their sticks again, right? And really, what are these guys made of? Like, that's how Vancouver's going in. Vancouver's got nothing to lose.
They're playing with house money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As a guy who's...
That, Skinner usually typically bounces back from a game like that. I expect better things
from him. Well, he had a bad game in round one against LA, and he bounced back from it.
Well, then he had what arguably people, you know, said, oh, if, you know, because then I also got texted, you know, if the Oilers can win 1-0 game, Skinner playing like that, like they did against LA, they could be... Yes. They could be an actual threat this year.
Can I throw out there that, you know, just for Vancouver, just for a second, that they're not just dog shit that everybody walks all over.
They're right? not.
First place team in the West in their division.
In the Pacific.
In the Pacific, thank you. The thing by them adding Lindholm during the season is they are three lines deep. Lindholm was a first line center for Calgary. And now...
That's not saying much, though.
Well, it is Calgary. I'm not going to argue with that.
Shout out to Grabber.
Yeah. But what it's with them splitting up JT Miller and Pettersson, they now run three deep.
Yep.
That's a strong matchup. And their defense does have a lot more veteran. When you say a rookie team, there is some, you know, Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, some of them guys.
Yep.
But the defense has got some veterans, you know, Tyler Myers and Zadorov and some of them guys, Cole, that have been around a long time, and they're big and miserable.
Yeah, oh, they're a good team, without a doubt.
You know, so it's a good test.
Yeah.
So, going back to the silver coin. Now that we've talked about it, right?
Long way around.
Goal differential in the next two games, Jay.
Well, I think I'm going to go back to where...
Wait. We're going to do prices right?
Or closest to? Closest to, I think.
Well, what happened if we have that... Plus one, plus two, plus four, plus five, and it ends up plus three. Then what do you do?
Well, then you. Why don't we push the coin if that happens?
Then Jay gets it?
Then it becomes a push?
Then it becomes a push.
A push, and you double up for the next one?
That's right.
Sure.
Okay.
Instead of adding all these lovely rules, we could have had a push
or
this
should
week.
Should we bring in...
for that now, Sean.
Yeah.
We're
going to give out an extra...
Yeah. Should we bring in a putter and have a little jar and see who could put the ball in the jar first? Hey, and whoever's tied. Something different.
No, I don't like this. Because
so we're literally going to have a putt-off if we're tied?
This is coming from the guy that is starting to play golf again every week. So I am not for this.
Well, Jay always was good at putting.
Well, maybe we could do something more Harley style. Maybe we could do a spelling bee or something, eh?
I don't know if anyone caught that. Anyhow, let's go.
I did catch that. What we're talking about is feats of strength. Is that what we want to do?
Okay, Jay, pick your goal differential.
Okay, so we got to talk the next two games. So the big question in game two is, are the Oilers going to smack them, or are they going to be a tight one, or are they going to lose?
I don't know, Jay. You tell me. You got first pick.
I think it's going to be a tight one, and then they come back to Edmonton, and they push it out. So I'm going to say plus four for the Oilers.
Plus four.
Plus five for the Oilers.
Oh. Now I gotta
see. The only problem with me going first is I actually get screwed.
I was already
on
thinking
this
through
deal.
This, and I'm like, Jay's gonna get screwed.
We should go the opposite way. No, we're not trying to give dust. We're not. This is the wrong way. Jay, we're totally wrong. This is the wrong way. No, this is the wrong way. No, we're already into it. And you're already agreed to it. Hey, dust. I thought we're a democracy. We're a silver coin. So you don't get to just be the president all of a sudden.
That's correct, actually. And in a democracy, I get to screw dust over this time. I agree with Jay. Dust, you can start. How's
dust
that?
You start up.
Yeah, let's go,
do,
Dust.
How do guys pick their two picks?
Well, you know what? It literally could have been a push.
Pick,
it literally could have been a push.
Pick.
Democracy gave you an extra silver coin. And this time, democracy's saying you pick first.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Yeah. So go first, Dust. Let's hear your reason.
I can't believe Jay changed the rules halfway through the picks.
I can't believe Dust changed the rules as my team tied your team for most goals in a week.
I'll be honest, there's a little piece
of me. I still can't believe that I lost that. Come on now.
Well, you know what's going to happen here. We're going to go on each side of Dust, so he's only got one real true pick. There's just a slight piece of me, very slight, that hopes he wins. It'd be awesome. You know what I mean?
If I pick the number and you guys sandwich me,
you would
then
be picking the
exact
number. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll go Oilers plus two.
plus
wow.
two.
Plus a goal two. Each game.
See, I got to try and make it so no one wants to go on the other side of me. That's what I'm trying to do right now. But go ahead and sandwich me if you want. I tried to do the over-under where no one...
I'm going
to
go plus five.
Oh, man.
Oh, and Sean went the opposite way. Now the question is, are they going to go plus six and plus one? That's the real question.
Well, they can't go... Well, they could do plus one. Hey, yeah, you're right. But that means Oilers are losing a game. Yeah, fair.
Harley's pick, plus six.
Wow.
Plus six.
He's Jay's going. Pick, plus one.
Oh! You know what? That means I get plus two, plus three, and you get plus four, plus five.
This is correct.
Actually, that works out well. I don't mind that.
You went after all that. You did plus one. Yeah. You might as well just stay.
Well,
with
if
your
I go to plus
pick.
Three, I only get plus three.
Well, no, it'd be a push on plus four.
That's right.
So he gets one number.
If I go plus four, I get one number.
That was
plus one. We all assume here, because we're Oilers fans, that, I mean, listen to Harley. He's got the choice of plus six or plus one. He chooses plus six, which means the
Oilers
are
blowing him out twice.
Right. I mean, I there's got to be like...
So do you regret your decision of having
last
pick?
No, because I have... What if Vancouver wins a game or the Oilers win one and, like, I'm right there.
You know what's funny is if we would have went with what we said we were going to do, I would have ended up with plus two or less, and now I get plus two, plus three. Instead, Jason gets plus one or less, and I get, like...
Well, it's way better for me, because I would have ended up with plus four, that's it.
Yes, actually, I was going to laugh about it. Until you said something, I was like, this is perfect.
Thank
Jay's going to get
God
sandwiched
quick
and
that.
Get screwed over.
But you know
again.
What's going to happen, though?
They're going to win by plus three or plus
they're gonna,
four.
They're going to win by plus four. Two. They're going to win by plus two, and Dust will win again, right? Like, I mean... Sure. Yeah.
My mountain of money will just grow.
See, I'm surprised Sean didn't take plus three, but he was scared of getting isolated. So.
No, he would have got isolated.
And he would have, because Harley would take plus four.
That's right.
So actually, the third spot was the worst.
It's okay. I'm okay with plus five. Okay. I'm okay with
plus four, plus five.
Yeah, correct. You got two, correct. Two I got two.
That
got
was
two.
Actually smart of you to do it like that.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay. Not all looks, boys. Not all just or
That's
not
why
just
I had
looks.
To go plus two. Otherwise, I wouldn't.
Just doesn't happen very often. So we're a little shocked here, sitting at the table.
Our playoff bracket track it. Playoff bracket challenge, talking about silver. Right now, you know, Dust was all hot and heavy about his picks. Right now, Stan Sens is number one, and I'm just gonna pull
up
his bracket.
I didn't know how they count points for that.
He got every team right in the first round, and he's got moving on the Oilers, Stars, Florida, and Carolina.
That's exact same as me.
That's
same
as me.
I've got Florida, Rangers, Edmonton, Dallas.
Ooh,
and who's Ween's 19. So Brent or Brian is number two.
Six and two. I was wrong. I picked the Leafs to beat the Bruins, and I picked the Winnipeg. I picked Winnipeg.
Ween's also is in number two. He had all the same picked as well. Obviously, something to do with games, I'm assuming. And he has Edmonton, Dallas, New York, Florida, making the second round. There's the top two guys in the bracket
points,
challenge.
I think if you get the exact number of games right, in
and
the
heck,
rounds.
You know what? Screw it, because we're awarding the top three. I'll pull up the top third or the third one. He got all right as well. He's got Dallas, Canucks, Rangers, Florida, in the going to the semis, and that would be.
I was my four teams moving on. I was
Glenn Vandeveer.
Do we know how to bring up the Kit Scotty draft?
Do we know how to look up the dead last? Who's dead last in this thing? Because they're getting awarded,
I don't know,
too.
But Ryan
dead
Smith
last
is
right
first
now.
First place again in the Kit Scotty.
Amanda Kupa. Okay.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Amanda Kupa, because I said top three getting a silver coin, bottom person in this draft getting a coin. Amanda Kupa right now sitting in 45th spot. And this is who she picked in the first round to come through. Sort of. She did pick the Oilers, Vancouver. She missed on the Jets. She missed on Tampa. She missed on the Leafs. She missed on the Caps. She missed on the Islanders. Oh, my. So she's got the Edmonton Oilers, Vancouver, right? She's got the Oilers winning the Cup. That's the only thing that she had. Edmonton
so
playing
she was
Winnipeg.
Two and six.
Yeah, she's got Edmonton playing. Here's her next four, though. Edmonton, Winnipeg, Toronto Capitals. So her only chance is if the Oilers come all the way through that, she might be getting a silver coin for that one right there, banking on the Canadian, all-Canadian final.
And if she wouldn't have chosen the Oilers and chosen LA, I would have said she was putting one in to lose. But with her picking Edmonton, I'm going, no, she was probably trying.
There you go, Amanda. So shout out to Amanda for right there. Okay. Blue Jays. You wanted Blue Jays in on this?
Well, I'm just... dead last in the East, 7.5 back in early May.
So the thing about this is, and I'm not a huge fan of this team, but they're only 3 games under, which means they're not that bad. They're in a very, very strong division, and I don't think their team's quite good enough, but they're not awful. The problem is that, as you and I have talked about before, they haven't made enough smart enough moves to be really, really good. They're kind of a middling team.
As time goes along, I'm starting to feel like the management's a problem there. Oh, sure. I don't like some of the moves they've made.
I actually like their starting pitching staff.
They've done a good job in the pitching staff. Like, the Marino move looks terrible right now.
Yes.
The other thing that I...
We will give credit where credit is due. Dust did bring that up a long time ago.
Well, I think we all agree.
Yeah. Agreed, right. Yes.
And they are, to be fair to them, they have some players really struggling. So why do guys, you know, why does a Bo Bichette who's running into his prime, why is he struggling like that?
Vladdy is the same way.
And Vladdy is struggling, but not, you know, not at the clip that
is
Bo
Vladdy
is,
not an elite player? Is he a really good player,
but
not elite?
Is he elite, or did he have an elite year?
That's what I mean. That's what I ask. Is he really elite, or did he have an elite year 1 year?
Because he did. I mean, he's won a Gold Glove, second in voting for MVP. And the funny thing with Vladdy is on a year that isn't elite, he's still a good player because he's still banging out 30 and 90.
But is he an elite player, or is he a really good player? And there's a difference there.
I agree.
Because he did have an elite year, you know, because he just won MVP. Is he really elite, or is he a really good player?
Maybe we're not far enough along in the curve yet to know with him.
Yeah.
I find Bichette interesting, though. Because this guy's a pure hitter and has been, like, it's like his brain's
You know what's
gone.
Funny? Is the move I kind of questioned was Turner because of his age, and he's their best hitter right now.
Well, because he just comes in and does the same thing he does every year.
Well,
it's almost
I realize
like Big
that,
Poppy
but
he just comes in and hits.
No, I realize that, but he's also 38 years old, so I'm kind of like, you know, is there going to be a drop-off there? He'll be an okay hitter, but he's been their best hitter.
Yeah.
Like, the whole offense is relying on him to do something.
Well, and Varsho has stood out to me thus far, right?
If there's a guy I want to trade right now, it's Varsho.
You know what's funny about Varsho is... he's standing out because of how crappy everybody else is. Because he's still only hitting at a .227 clip. And everybody's going, oh, what a great year Varsho's going. You're going, if this is our great year, you know what they feel like right now? They feel like the Flames. They honestly do. They feel like with the moves they're making, we're just going to be
just
this middling team that's never going to quite hit the playoffs. We're never going to get really high draft picks. We're going to talk about how great we are, that we're just around the corner, and 7 years later, we're still there.
Just a corpse walking around looking for someone with a brain?
Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like that for me. Like, it feels like the Jays could
dead
be that.
Dead man walking.
Especially because how the MLB is set up. I mean, if they don't get their crap together here, you could be a middling team in the MLB for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll go back to this. This is why you can't trade guys like Marino.
You can't.
You just can't.
No.
There is no excuse for that.
No.
You should get fired for that.
Yep.
Every time.
Me and Dust are firing you.
San Jose, draft lottery.
Good for them.
Celebrini, if they pick up Celebrini, I mean, which...
they'll still be awful, but they'll have one good player.
The reason that it's great...
local kid, too, actually, grew up San Jose.
So, did he?
Yeah.
Celebrini.
He's from San Jose?
Yeah, he was born in B.C., but actually they...
did play hockey in California?
Apparently.
Born in B.C.,
but they...
moved to San Jose to play hockey.
They've...
it's an interesting...
they've been down in San Jose. That's where...
well, I could handle playing hockey in San Jose.
That seems like a good life decision right there, his parents. Mm. He's like, playing hockey, let's move to San Jose.
They were actually, his dad had come out and said that he was going to be living at home while he was playing in the NHL. And I can't see that happening, but, you know.
Can you imagine being 18 in the NHL, making millions of dollars and living at your parents' house?
Sure.
No, I see problems with that.
So do I.
I don't know how I would manage that very well, actually.
You seem to be bringing
I'd be
a
living,
lot of women
I could just see his mom being like...
for me, I'd be living at home, but actually not living at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I could just see his mom giving him crack because he missed curfew to go out and...
yeah. No, see, and that's what I mean. Like, I'd be living at home, but actually wouldn't be. It'd be a worse situation. Yes.
Florida, game two. They came out and were the Florida... well, I mean...
So what's funny about game one is they actually... like, Florida didn't play that bad. Swayman had an unreal game.
No, they knew that I had a chance at a silver coin.
That's right. Anything to screw Jay.
Jay's got a chance at a silver coin?
Florida,
nah, we'll give him the pink cup
Florida
instead.
Florida is an elite team, and they showed it in game two. As simple as that. Game one, Swayman had an unbelievable game. They played an okay game. Game two, they came out and just stomped them.
I did like how the Bruins decided to come out and mess her up a little bit, and then old Tkachuk went after Pasternak. Oh, yeah. And it
can't
was,
beat that.
No.
Both coaches gave both players the green light. Both liked it, right? That
it was entertaining. Hockey. Did you see at the end of that fight, Tkachuk never gave up. Like, he was throwing as past, like, he was trying to send a message. And then Pasternak, to his credit, got up and started throwing right back at Tkachuk.
You know, they're leaders on both those teams. The reason, part of the reason why they're so good is because they actually have leaders on both those teams.
Yeah.
And you can see it with both those. Never mind that you still got Marchand there as well, who wouldn't be afraid to mix it up.
Well, right? No, he was mixing it up there at the end when they kind of have that little melee going on, too. Well, because did you see when they scored that last goal? Montour, I think, scored that goal, and he was beaking Marchand at the side of the net, and that's what started that whole mess. And I would love to have known exactly what he was saying to him.
He was, they were like, whatever, 2 feet apart, and Montour is licking, right? Like, he was trying to lick Marchand for what he did.
Man, you know, there's Marchand you would love to have on your team, but just playing against him, he would drive you batty.
Who was the rat back in the day?
Kenny Linsman?
Isn't that who he is?
Or I was going to say Claude Lemieux.
Or Esa-Tiikkanen.
Yeah,
like someone like that.
Well, the thing about Claude Lemieux, I think Lemieux was worse.
Oh, no, he was.
The Marchand.
For sure. But Marchand's on the same.
Tiikkanen maybe would have been a better comparable.
I'm just thinking Linsman was.
How many points did Tiikkanen put up in his heyday?
Well, I want to say he was a pretty decent player. Harley can look that up for us, I imagine.
But so was Kenny Linsman. Kenny Linsman put up points back in the day, too.
Yeah, well, we're going to see. So who do you think had more points in his career, Linsman or Tiikkanen?
I'm going to say Tiikkanen.
Points in a season or total? Yeah.
Both.
Oh.
And in a playoff round. Or in a playoff season.
Oh, my goodness. You just asked three questions.
Well, we got Harley on it here.
I'd say it's pretty close in all of them, but I would say in all those cases.
That's
I'm going to go Tiikkanen. I'm going to go Tiikkanen.
Tiikkanen on all three?
I'm going to go Tiikkanen on all two of the three, except for career. I'm going to say Linsman on career.
I'm going to say Linsman regular season. But what I'll say about,
I'm going to say Tiikkanen all three.
I will say both Esa-Tiikkanen and Linsman, and you can throw Claude Lemieux, although I think Claude Lemieux is more of an agitator than that. Yep. But all three of them weren't elite scorers, especially regular season.
Yes. Esa-Tiikkanen, 630 points, 877 games played.
There you go.
It's a pretty solid career.
So good hockey players.
But not a 1,000-point guy.
Not an elite scorer. But they always, the playoffs suits them because they like to mix it up. They like to get dirty. They like to piss off the other players. And that's when they shone the most. And I see Marchand kind of as that same kind of guy.
Well, and Tiikkanen had, back in the 80s, the other thing is Tiikkanen had a tough job because he shadowed. So back then, they really used the shadow. So if they played a team that had a really tough, so if they played a team that maybe you didn't have to shadow as much, Tiikkanen would get thrown up on that top line with Curry and Gretzky, and away they go. But if they had a team that, let's say they're playing Detroit and they had to shadow Yzerman, he sometimes would play on the third line, and that his whole job was just to go out there every time Yzerman's out there and skate around with him.
Drive him nuts.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a player like that on Vancouver, would you match him up against McDavid?
I'd match a lineup against them and say every time McDavid touches one of the U3 guys, when they break out, just skates with McDavid. And every time he touches a puck, one of U3 guys is hitting him. Every time for the first four games of the series. I would just hit him.
Linsman, you just can't take penalties.
No.
Linsman, 860 games, 807 points. So a little
bit better.
And 1,725 penalty minutes. Tiikkanen, 1,077 penalty minutes.
Okay. Yep. What about playoffs? Can you just look up playoff career?
Holy man.
Come on, Harl.
It should be on the same thing, shouldn't it?
Harl's like, you're the professional here, bud.
Anyhow, I remember the Oilers getting Linsman at the tail end of his career, but I remember him being that pest.
Well, his nickname was the Rat.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was his nickname.
And he embraced it. Claude Lemieux, I think, was different than the other two because I think he was meaner.
He was dirtier.
Dirtier.
Yeah, like I wouldn't consider Marchand like him.
But no. Lemieux wasn't really, correct me if I'm wrong, but you didn't notice Lemieux throughout the regular season. He was only more.
He was like only a playoff guy.
It
was weird because the regular season, he could go a season where he didn't even get 20 goals.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, he'd be one of the
in top. In 1,215 top games, scorers. Claude Lemieux had 786 points.
Half a point game.
Yeah, so it wasn't like less than Linsman and.
Yep. In a long career, though.
In the playoffs, though, he was dynamite.
Yeah, he was.
And he would hurt guys.
Oh, and he was mean.
He was mean.
That Detroit Colorado with Lemieux and. Who is it?
Wasn't it Draper he hit?
Yeah. But have you seen that?
And in 230, Claude Lemieux in 234 games had 80 goals and 78 assists in the playoffs.
Yeah. So his tick went up to point like 6.5.
Yes.
From 0.5. So he pushed. And how many playoff games did he play at the end of his career where you're not the same player as you are in your prime? Right. And at 234 prime playoff games, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they said last night, Corey Perry, I think that last night was his 202nd. I think it was 202nd last night. Most inactive players.
Right.
In the playoffs.
And Corey Perry is kind of in the same vein a little bit. He's just, he was better regular season point scorer.
He was he's Marchand. More, Marchand putting up big points in the regular season as well.
I mean, Corey Perry won
that's what I mean.
Did he not?
But he's, like a goal scoring.
He's a little bit of
what's goal scoring called?
Rocket Richard.
The Rocket.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And he's probably a little less of an agitator than someone like Kenny Linsman was.
I agree with Sean. I think Corey Perry's more in the Brad Marchand vein.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, boys. Anything else before I let you out of here this morning?
We're going to talk about the other two series at all? Or?
Oh, yeah. I suppose we could bring up the Rangers-Carolina.
So, well, I mean, you look at the Rangers-Carolina. There, Carolina sits. This is the
game three.
You're never in trouble until you lose on home ice.
Right, but this is the risk that Edmonton has right now. Carolina loses game one. All of a sudden,
then they put up 50-plus shots, and all of a sudden, they're down
game two, and they're down two.
That was a heck of a game. Game two was a heck of a game.
The problem I see with Carolina right now is, like, that was such an intense game. If that was the best that you've got and you still lose game two, man, that's got to be deflating because that was a hell of a game.
It does, but you don't lose a series until you lose one at home. Right, so they come back and win one at home and the series is back on.
Well, and Carolina's not a team that's, like, this is new for them.
No, they've been
to the divisional and conference finals five times in a row now.
And they got arguably the best coach in the NHL or one of the best in Brind'Amour. Yeah.
They're deep. So, yeah. And you don't know a measure of a team until you get them close to that wall and start pushing on them because that's when they start fighting hard. So
Colorado-Dallas.
But
Dallas is up 3-0.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
3-0.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Colorado has got to be, like, I love the Oilers and all, but watching Colorado, they got to be the most dangerous team in the entire NHL the way they play hockey. Like, they just, when McKinnon gets going and then Makar gets going and all those guys get going, it is fun to watch. Like, they hemmed Dallas in. That first 5 minutes of the game was like they were all over them. And then Dallas came down, had a couple chances, scored. And then all of a sudden they're up 3-0. But it never felt like Colorado was ever even remotely close out of the game. Well, because when they push, they push. And nobody can slow them down. They're that skilled, that talented.
Are you not
talented.
Hoping for a Colorado-Edmonton?
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Isn't Colorado and Edmonton kind of the same team?
Well, I think they're the exact same team almost, except for I think Edmonton has a touch more depth up front.
Yep.
And I think Colorado has that true number one defenseman.
Well,
and I think that's the difference.
Their
they got the best defenseman
in
the
NHL. And
their
goalies are about the same?
Yep. So I think they're very similar, but Colorado's got that number one D. Edmonton's got a little more depth. Which one's going
to
win?
It'd be a great series to watch.
Oh, yeah.
They both got to get there.
But
it would be fun. Well, guys.
Now I need Vancouver to win.
So we're meeting next Tuesday.
This is great.
Next Tuesday to give me the coin?
Monday.
Next Monday. After game one and two, we'll go Monday. And
we'll know if Sean finally wins his first series. I will not be playing because I'm still on injured reserve. But I'm very interested to see if Sean can get that monkey off his back.
You know, I've been playing forward. And everybody's been laughing about it, but we've been winning. So, what can you do?
You know what?
Sheldon Heck hasn't kicked me back to D yet.
Sean playing forward is like Jay playing forward. He hangs out at the far blue line a lot.
What are you talking about?
A lot.
I don't hang out at the far blue line. What I do is I read the play, and I'm your quick transition
guy. By the red line.
He comes past the red line once in a while when he has to.
No,
the play doesn't develop, but.
Well, what's the sense of me rushing all the way back down for the play to turn over to rush all the way back?
That's right. And there's very little
rushing.
There's
guys
that
do that are not very effective.
Listen, if we were losing 10-2, you had to have something. But we won last game.
Hmm.
And, you know, our line did pretty good. And I go,
Don't hate on something you can't.
Oh, pink cup going everywhere.
You know, so
talking with my hands.
I will say this is that Team White pulled Bagnell out of retirement suddenly.
Yes.
And that's changed everything.
I didn't know that.
Which is kind of BS.
Made it nice.
He's a nice puck.
Made it nice to just slide on the front end.
If there's a guy I hate coming down one on one against, Bagnell's right up there.
No, my guy's Passmore. Because he's so long and everything. Even if I beat him, I don't beat him.
No, but those two guys are two guys I never beat. Really. Sean back there, no problem. But those other two guys, that's tough. No wonder Sean's playing forward.
I don't like Harley back there because he's actually a little mean.
I know.
He's silent. He's that silent meanness.
He's such a nice, he used to be such a nice guy, but he's got mean in his old
age.
Well,
he's a little bit like dad out there, right? Really nice guy off the skates, throw him on skates.
Yeah. The thing is, I won't let any of you buy me. I'll let a few other guys buy me. I will not let you guys buy me.
Can't wait.
You know what?
Hey, Sean.
I let Sammy buy me one time, and now I'm hearing about it for the rest of the time.
Can't wait to blow the doors off of him Friday. Eh?
That's coming up Monday. That's my first question because I'm not playing in the game, so that's my first question.
All right. Folks, we will catch up to you next week. Here is another edition of the Brothers Roundtable with a new edition of the Pink Cup.
That I've already spilled.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
No silver coins. Spilled my coffee.
You know what? I can't drink out of the pink cup next week because there's no way for me to get last place. I'll be in the meaty middle for sure.
No, there is.
Same thing with Sean.
Yeah, you're right. It's either me or Harley.
Yeah, that's
maybe,
right.
Maybe I'll have to get three pink cups. If you don't win, you just drink it out of a pink cup, eh? Who knows? Okay, boys. Thanks again.